Welcome to the BitByte Podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only, and is not financial advice.
So, I know we talked about a little bit about this yesterday, but you heard the IMF told El Salvador to basically ban Bitcoin as legal tender yesterday, right?
Yep, I do mention. I remember you mentioning that, and then us debating whether or not the president of El Salvador was going to mysteriously die from something. Or
yeah, I'm kind of curious. Like, is he worried at all?
Let's show him the other angle of the JFK assassination from the grassy knoll, right?
Right, yeah. I don't know. And then Edward Snowden chimed in today, and he was talking about how, well, if the IMF, honestly, like what it comes down to is the IMF, if they were truly not worried about Bitcoin, then they'd probably just let El Salvador do what they're going to do and let him fail, right? But when they're talking to him like that, and they're basically asking them not to allow Bitcoin to be legal tender in their country. I don't know. That's kind of interesting. There's a lot geopolitically that's going on right now with a lot of different things, obviously.
Yeah. Well, it just takes one country to kind of show that it works. And then, you know, there's another country that really doesn't have anything else to lose, and they're going to, you know, join in. And once they get enough people or countries, nations doing this kind of thing, I mean, It could be game over for the central banking system of the entire world.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Like, I mean, it really could just start off, because I mean, it's going to be like the small little fire. Like, everybody, honestly, I know a lot of people were, a lot of people in the crypto community, especially, they were talking about how, well, big deal, it's El Salvador. Who cares? You know, that if they're the ones that are going to do this. But if, and we talked about this, I think, on the last podcast too, if other countries are watching what El Salvador is doing, and it turns out successful for them, even remotely, marginally successful, more successful than what they were before, because of this kind of a thing. I mean, how many more of those little fires are going to spread? Nayib Bukele met with, I don't know if it's Prime Minister of Turkey or what that figurehead is called, but he's got his financial teams looking into it now. I mean, and think about that. If that falls in the Middle East, and that's what it takes, is just those little dominoes falling in those parts of the world, right?
Yeah.
Then you start to see a lot. Like, I mean, then you could basically get like this consolidation or like a federation, basically, of Bitcoin countries that start to build up where they had, you know, maybe low economic strength in the past, but now all of a sudden they're going to start flexing big time.
Yeah.
Without having these big GDP numbers.
No, I could totally see that happening. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen, but that is definitely a possibility.
Yeah, and that just goes back to the game theory of Bitcoin, right?
Yep.
Earlier this week, there was a lot of talk, like around Monday, that Russia was actually talking about banning cryptocurrencies. But on a speech that Vladimir Putin had today, he held a video conference and he said that, you know, he's got the finance treasury saying that cryptocurrency ban was not needed. And it was arguing it was necessary to allow these technologies to develop. And then Putin himself was saying that Russia would actually have certain competitive advantages if they decided to go ahead and start mining. And currently, Russia is actually the third largest controller of hash rate across the world, behind the United States and Kazakhstan, of all places.
Well, maybe they'll try and absorb Kazakhstan next after Ukraine.
After the Ukrainian thing. Yeah, so I thought that was actually very interesting that, you know, you have the mainstream media was talking about Putin saying that they were going to ban Bitcoin. And now you've got a complete, basically, 160 coming from, you know, his mouth itself, saying that, no, we're looking at, if we do decide to do this, we're going to have a huge advantage because of our electricity surplus.
Yep. Well, they generally just have a lot of energy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, really, they could. They could totally cut everybody else off in Europe. And I don't know what that would do. I mean, there are all kinds of crazy things that could play out from that, right? If they just take all their energy reserves and like, okay, well, we're just going to exclusively mine Bitcoin.
And I wouldn't say they would do that. They wouldn't have to do that. But I mean, if push came to shove, they could go that route, I guess.
Yeah. And I guess the weird thing is if Russia jumped into it, would America just let them?
Yes.
Or you think America would answer back and be like, okay, well, we're going to start mining too. It'd be like a whole new space race.
The new Bitcoin race. I don't think they would jump on that because, I think kind of the U.S. dollar, the U.S. dollar being the world reserve currency is kind of an advantage that we have over other countries. And I mean, if Russia wants to kind of overthrow that or put an end to that, I mean, Bitcoin, I think, is, a pretty solid path to take.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if we sat there on our, I mean, basically we would end up becoming, we would, well, we've talked about that before, right? Like if there was the Great Reset, right? America wouldn't be the global leader anymore.
And no, I really think, I mean, yeah, there's a changing of the guard happening one way or the other.
And we're seeing it all in real time.
Yep. We just watched the decay happen right in front of our eyes. It's unsettling, right? As an American.
Yeah. It's kind of terrifying at times. Like, I mean, just what is the world going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And there was also another story that I was going to talk about. And again, I talked about this a little bit with you yesterday. There was this gentleman that, well, and I can't say gentleman, we don't know who it is exactly, but they went from basically $0 in Bitcoin in November 2021 to over $1 billion now.
And that's on Coinbase?
Yeah, it's a Coinbase wallet they've been buying up. They've been buying up crazy amounts. At the time of writing, the wallet balance now sits at $1,013,777,643.51.
In Bitcoin.
Dollars and, to Bitcoin. They don't have a billion in Bitcoin, obviously. They can't.
Yeah.
Right? Well,
it might have gone down a little bit since yesterday, right?
Yeah. Well, that's been so funny, too, because we saw that dip where we went down to, I think it was on, was it Sunday night or Monday? We went down to 32.932. Then we saw it rise back all the way up to about 38.980, I think. Mm-hmm. And now we're back down at 35.768, which, I mean, we could be just doing a retest. Just to see where the support's at, with that kind of a pump. Either it's a dead cat bounce or we're seeing some sort of a retest to see is the support still there. And now, interestingly, we were starting to see that build up before the Fed basically had their announcement today of nothing.
Which we kind of predicted.
Yeah, they're so hawkish,
Well, their hands are tied. They've basically screwed all their options. They've been just using the drug, the stimulus drug, the cash injections that, I mean, trying to wean us off of it is just going to cause withdrawals and the worst hangover of all time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it totally is. And the thing to always keep in mind is even though we're seeing this weird, weird price action going on, and I mean, a lot of it is tied to what the Fed is doing or not doing, lack thereof, right? Because we saw it a lot in the equities markets, the mm-hmm. S&P and everything dropped. And again, it seems I want to see that decoupling happen from traditional markets with Bitcoin, but we still haven't seen that yet. Because I mean, they still, especially in the United States, they treat it as a technology stock, right?
Yeah.
Another thing that I kind of was looking at that I thought was interesting too was. They're saying that illiquid supply of Bitcoin, basically not traded Bitcoin, is actually continuing to increase. So currently it's at 14.5 million coins. And if just the hodlers right now increase their positions by 27%, then the supply would be zero.
The trade, which would then kick in supply and demand, right?
Oh, yeah. One, I mean, how long does that last before? I mean, because how rare is it going to be for people to be able to have one whole Bitcoin as this continues to grow?
Oh, it's almost going to become impossible unless you're just unbelievably wealthy. I mean, once it crosses the 100 grand mark, I don't know. I just don't know a whole lot of people with 100 grand laying around that they can just grab a coin real quick.
Even at current prices, I don't know a whole lot of people with $30,000 just laying around that could just be like, oh, I'm going to go buy Bitcoin and a half. Really? Okay. More power to you, buddy. I mean, good for you. Yep. I mean, and there are people that are, but that's few and far between. I think you probably I don't know. What would you say is the percentage of Americans living paycheck to paycheck?
It's shockingly high. I don't know. I'd say it's somewhere around 60-70%.
Yeah, that's kind of was the figure in my head. It was about 60-70%. I almost wanted to say 80, but I was like, that may be a little bit too high. But I think about 60% to 70% of Americans are probably living paycheck to paycheck. They really have no money in reserves. So even for them to start buying, even if they're buying $10 a week or whatever, that's still accumulating some crypto or at least some Bitcoin. And I think that's a good idea. Not financial advice, but
hedge your bets, buddy. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, as far as dollars, though, I mean, we keep talking about, you know, what the price of Bitcoin's going to be. We've been talking about inflation. I mean, if the inflation continues or accelerates like some people expect it to in 2022, I mean, there's going to be how many more Americans, what percentage of Americans are going to be living paycheck to paycheck? And then what percentage of Americans are going to be practically starving at that point?
Well, and you see, especially I think in the larger cities, you see the grocery stores, they're empty. I mean, we still have selection where we're at, but I mean, it's kind of skimpy in times. You don't see quite the horn of plenty that there was before, but and I mean, if it just continues to get worse and worse, and everything's having to go up in price.
Oh, yeah. Everything.
And, you know, and I feel bad, especially because, you know, I've got employees and, you know, when I look at they're not my employees, right? I work for a company. But, you know, I look at what their merit increases are going to be for the year. And that kind of depresses me because I know what the interest rate is. And I'm like, man. You guys didn't even match. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, they're gonna be behind the ball this upcoming year versus last year, right? Yeah.
Well, and last year they were already behind the ball too because a lot of companies either gave no merit increases or they did some sort of a flat rate across the board. Everybody got kind of like a participation trophy.
Yeah, there was a freeze or just some very minimal, right, in 2020.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was pretty bad, and to see them kind of do the same thing, I mean, not necessarily the same thing. If everything was kind of as it was, the status quo before all this other stuff was going on, we already knew we had issues with money printing, but it wasn't quite to this extent. Then, I don't know, I guess it just kind of, I weep for them. I'm like, man, and I tried to get them more as much as I could, but then I got batted back down. So much for that.
Yep. I know, but then, you know, that's the thing. A lot of people are not fortunate enough to even have a job.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and then you got people selling their farts for $50,000 a week, so.
Come on, heart attack, here I come.
Yeah, what is this world that we're in?
I don't know. We're not hot or girly enough to do that kind of thing, so that's a whole nother realm. We won't even think about it.
Yeah. I it's so crazy. This world is so nuts. That's all I can say about that. It's a crazy world.
Indeed.
We keep on saying that we were going to talk about the metaverse and we haven't done it yet, but there's been so much other weird stuff going on.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have quite a while to get into the metaverse, right? I mean,
it's the future if it's going to happen, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how things are going. I mean, like, that's the direction I see things going long term, you know, and the kind of the transhumanist movement, right? I mean, it's kind of like the end. I mean, I don't know if it's quite the end goal, but it's definitely like once you get there, you're pretty damn close, right?
Yeah, no, you are. I mean, at that point, then, And that's, you know, and I when you just said that, I started thinking, my tinfoil hat came on, right? And I'm like, they really, like, I mean, when you look at, and by no means am I saying for sure, yeah, this is what it is, but when you look at, like, the New World Order and the agendas that we looked up, I mean, that we kind of studied through basically high school and then through college, stuff like that, right? And even some of that stuff we heard when we were kids, if they can convince everybody to get into the metaverse and that's where everything's at, meanwhile they buy up all the physical stuff and then they just cut everybody off. Everybody'd be crying.
A game over, man. Yeah. Game over.
You can't have it in the real world, but you can have it all in the metaverse.
Yep.
I don't know.
That would, maybe that is what Zuckerberg is doing. Maybe he's the Antichrist, right?
All hail the Antichrist. I'm Mark Zuckerberg. Yeah, I don't know, man. We've got to continue on with some more other stuff, too. It's just, it's been such a weird time. And I mean, we were waiting. I was waiting to see what the IMF was, or not the IMF, but the Fed was going to do. And considering they did nothing, I'm kind of actually shocked that Bitcoin prices kind of took a tumble today. And so that's, I don't know if that's a retest today or if we're actually going to go down further again. But
I'll still, I think we're kind of float in this range for a while, at least through the end of the month.
Yeah, I don't see. I mean, and even at the end of the month, I mean, with the way that we kind of had this structure that was developing and then it broke, it's going to take a while for us to recover back to all time highs. And by a while, I mean, like at least 3 to 4 months. If we get back to all time highs this year or even before summer.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea about the all-time highs, but I think we're probably going to be in this lull at least for another week or so, and we'll see where we go from there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the other thing that typically, I mean, this has been far from a typical cycle within Bitcoin, but typically you will get your sell-off too before tax season. So, you know, like right around March going into April, you'll see a lot of coins kind of drop off, but that's because they're buying, or they're selling to be able to pay taxes or whatever they need to do. So I don't know. It's interesting times for sure, but I'm just going to continue to, I mean, I want to buy this cheap, you know, so I'll just continue to kind of ladder in and buy some more.
Absolutely. But,
and then I'll lose it all because I'm a horrible fisherman.
We need to get you a different boat.
Yeah.
One that doesn't stink every time.
Yeah, I know. I just got to cut and quit. You know, but it's that flex seal. I keep on putting it on the exterior and it doesn't hold.
It holds for a little bit.
That infomercial guy was full of it. But thank you guys for listening. If you guys are listening, please just drop us a line, either follow us on Twitter or you can email us at contact@thebitbytepodcast.com. Twitter is at the BitByte Pod 1. And then you can give them yours if you want to.
I don't have one yet. I'm going to make a BitByte Pod. I think BitByte Pod 2 would be mine.
Okay. Yeah. And then you can always interact with us on there if I could speak. And then, of course, we have the Discord. So that's absolutely all I've got.
All righty. We'll take it easy.
Bye, y'all.